This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome
to my favorite murder.
Minyasode.
Minyasode.
It's from Manhasset.
You know.
Manhasset.
Your favorite place where we tell you your own stories about, maybe about murder.
Maybe about razors.
Maybe about stuff in walls.
Maybe about sinkholes.
Maybe about something you found out about your grandpa when he died.
Maybe it's that your grandpa was an alien.
Maybe your grandpa was a sinkhole.
Maybe your grandpa is the center of the earth.
Uh-huh.
Made of hot magma.
Where the Loch Ness Monster
is passing through on his way from one lake to the other.
That's right.
That's how they travel.
Listen.
Look.
Look and listen to our fucking rambling bullshit on your way to work Monday morning.
This is an organized podcast of single topic true crime. If you can't handle it.
We take you very seriously. We take it very seriously.
And we take every topic that exists seriously. Uh-huh. Let's do this thing.
No bullshitting. Okay, you go first.
No bullshit. That's our guarantee to you. This one says, Mom had a banger hometown.
Oh.
Georgia, Karen, Steven. So my mom had a banger for me tonight. That's British,
what
right?
What is that? Yeah. Like
it's a
party.
Sausage.
Yep. It's like a party sausage.
It's
those
one
little
of those
ones.
Really long party sausages that you cut up into 30 pieces.
That's what I was going to say.
Did you mean the mini ones with toothpicks?
Like the little ones that you make into pigs in a blanket.
Oh.
How good are those? So little
precious.
Smokies.
Little Smokies. You can also take them camping. Guys, focus, please. So my mom had a banger for me tonight, kept insisting she's told me, but no fucking way I would have forgotten this horrifying gem. My mother grew up in Humboldt, South Dakota. Oh, that's not British at all. In a small trailer house with her parents, raging alcoholic father, younger brother Barry, and little sister Becky. One night, my mom says she was out late with friends, smoking dope, as she recalls.
Yes.
Yep. Brenda is the bee's knees.
Oh my God.
Mother's
Brenda.
Name's Brenda.
There's no children named Brenda.
No, that's
100%.
Done. The Brendas and the Carlas and the Denises and the Cheryls
are not. You know what? Can you imagine? Okay, picture a little baby, little sweet baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now picture its name Barbara. That has always been to me like that. Like when I meet a person named Barbara, I'm like, you are a baby named Barbara.
A baby named Barbara. Although Barbara Gray, who is our all of our mutual friends, I love her name on her. I think it suits her perfectly.
It's so perfect. It's almost like a 80s sitcom named her perfectly.
Yeah.
And now we're bullshitting.
That's the height of bullshit. Uh-huh. If you haven't listened to the Lady to Lady podcast,
right?
That's how you're going to get to know Barbara Gray and her friends.
That's why we told you this.
Yeah. We planned it. We rehearsed it twice, and now we're executing it.
And we did a great job.
Okay. Here's the thing about this email. That's ready.
Okay.
So she's the bee's knees, smoking pot with her friends, okay. Comes home late. She had thought that her brother Barry was still out with his friends while her younger sister was in the front yard having a, quote, camp out sleepover in a tent.
Uh-oh.
She had gotten ready for bed and climbed in. The way her bed was placed, she could see directly down her hallway. And after she got in bed that night, she remembers looking down the hallway and seeing a man crawling down the hallway towards her.
No, crawling!
Not walking on, but on his fucking hands and knees.
That's the most menacing way to move towards someone.
It's straight out of like The Ring.
Yes.
It's very, because then the next thing that happens is their elbows turn in, it all goes backwards, and then they go up a wall. Like a crab.
Oh my God.
Okay. Okay. She tried to scream, but it was, of course, the reaction of, I'm too fucking terrified to find my own goddamn voice.
The worst.
But the intruder heard her squeak and froze, which is even scarier. She finally found her voice and screamed for her dad. From there, her dad, mother, and brother, brother holding a rifle.
I thought it was going to be her brother in the hallway.
No, it was not her brother in the hallway.
Okay, go on.
Went running down the hall after this guy. He decided to fucking hide behind the tent.
Oh my God, where the little girl is in?
Where my young aunt and her friend were sleeping. My uncle Barry lines up a shot as my mom's dad leaps and says, don't shoot the girls. The guy ended up running off. They still have no idea who the man was.
Oh no, I thought it was going to be whimsical and funny because her brother was really drunk and crawling to his bed.
Nah, girl.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
No. If her brother was drunk, he got his shit right back together, grabbed the rifle in his room.
No, it wasn't him. I thought that's how it would go.
But I mean, he came for the rescue.
Yeah.
He was there for that part. Yeah. But no, there was a full-on fucking crawling intruder in their house.
No.
Horrifying.
I hate it.
If this ever gets on your cast, I may shit a brick. So I hope to hear my mom's fucked up story told by one of your angelic voices. Stay fucking sexy and don't get goddamn murdered, Nicole. Well done, Nicole.
Nicole, go shit a brick.
Please go tell fucking
Deborah.
Close?
Barbara.
Brenda. Tell Brenda we say hi.
Hi. Banger.
that was a banger.
Okay.
Oh, she meant it in the Miley Cyrus way. Banger.
There's a Miley Cyrus way to say banger?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And an album to back it up.
Really? I don't know anything about pop culture.
That might be bangers plural. Anyway.
Huh. Oh, kids these days. They're going around being political and smart.
With their tongues out.
With their tongues out. Okay. This is called Thrifted Murder Dress.
Oh.
Hello, everybody.
Perfect.
When I was a wee lass, my mom was an avid thrifter. With no college degree and a small child to raise, she started selling thrifted goods on eBay. Think those teenagers on Depop, but circa 1999. I don't know what any of that means.
Was that some kind of Korean reference?
I think Depop, D-E-P-O-P, is like a vintage clothing selling app.
Oh.
Someone in line, I was like, where did you get your dress? At the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And they said that and I forgot about it.
Okay, so it might be an online store or app.
But I remember being obsessed with eBay and it was just like this, it was nothing like it. And at the time, it was so exciting. Okay.
The countdown part was the best part.
Oh my God. They didn't have a buy it now shit.
No.
Like you had to.
In the original, you had to hang in. Like you had to find your thing of, this is the lamp from my childhood and then fight against
some
others.
Some fucking asshole in wherever the fuck would buy it from right out under you for like a penny more.
And that's the reason that you thought you wanted that thing so bad that you actually didn't need or want at all.
Oh my God. Now we just... Okay. One day, she found a beautiful 1940s dress. The problem? It had blood stains and what appeared to be a hole from where someone got stabbed.
What?
Funny enough, she bought the dress despite its obvious flaws. at the time, she thought she could cut the zipper and sell it since there was a market for them, but she eventually got creeped out and threw the dress away. Well, we have found some cool stuff at the Goodwill since then, like $10,000 cash.
What?
I'm not joking.
What?
Tell us that story.
Did you?
New hometown requests.
Yes.
Random shit you found in like crazy places. Found things.
Thrift store things is awesome.
Found thrift store things, maybe like anything found.
Especially money.
Oh.
Big piles of money that you just kind of found.
$10,000 cash?
You would shit.
That's a drug blazer.
I thought you meant, now we can buy that drug blazer we are always wanting.
No, I'm talking about that fucking smart tweed blazer with the elbow pockets that smells a little bit like cigars.
But secretly the person's a coke dealer?
Exactly.
You got it.
Okay. We have unfortunately not found another murder dress. As a kid, I didn't think much of the incident, but now murderino me wonders if this dress was part of some old-timey unsolved murder. Anyway, see y'all in March. Judy. God, I can't read today.
Judy.
We'll see you in March, Judy.
See you in March, Judy. Are we just going to
wear that dress?
Do we have dinner plans with Judy in March?
No, for the live Los Angeles show.
Aha.
You know, March is the month where Karen and I leave our apartments and houses and venture out into the world.
We go and then we'll just kind of dine with whoever emails us.
That's right.
It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. That was a good story. I mean, that is... the idea that that just could be a floating piece of evidence that they no one got.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
Some like small town jurisdiction was like emptying out the evidence room, and they're like, "This vintage dress is pretty. I'm just gonna get it all at Goodwill."
And then they're like, "This pile of cash that someone's robbed from a bank, we'll just put it in the Goodwill."
Yeah.
Okay. This is an I survived plus a sinkhole story. Say what?
Oh, Karen's like,
hello.
Trifecta, but with two things.
I'm trifecta minus one.
What do they call that?
Sleek. It's a bifecta.
Bifecta.
Hello, Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and all associated animals.
Love it. Perfect.
I love that.
Easy.
That sounds like it's civic based. Mm-hmm. I live near the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore, which is located on the southern tip of Lake Michigan. A very common pastime when spending a day at the beach is to run up and down the dunes. I'm not entirely sure why that is, as the sand is always hot as fuck. And have you ever tried to climb a sand mountain? It sucks. These dunes are known as living dunes because they move anywhere from a few to upwards of 20 feet per year.
Wow.
One of the more famous dunes is called Mount Baldy and is over 120 feet tall. In July of 2013, 6-year-old Nathan Wassner was visiting the dunes with his family and went to climb Mount Baldy with his father when all of a sudden he fell into a sinkhole, all caps. The dune literally swallowed him.
Oh my God. Nightmare.
Nightmare. Apparently, all the years of shifting had compromised the integrity of the surface and allowed for a giant ass boy swallowing sinkhole. His father and other beachgoers immediately tried to dig him out, but they could not see or hear him, and the sand was difficult to displace. First responders arrived and tried to use shovels to dig Nathan out, to no avail. After a few hours, they were able to drive an excavator up the dune, start using that to dig, but they had to be extremely careful so as not to hurt Nathan with a giant metal claw digging thing, so progress was slow, as they would have the excavator move a foot forward, dig around with their arms and shovels, then repeat the process.
Jesus.
For what I'm sure seemed like an eternity, after what I'm sure seemed like an eternity, one of the first responders felt the top of Nathan's head and was able to pull him out. He was found in a standing position as if he had fallen down a narrow pipe. When he was pulled out, he was cold, limp, and didn't have a pulse.
Oh my God, Nathan.
Which wasn't terribly surprising since he had spent 4 hours buried in a sand sinkhole. That's fucking horrifying. But then, as he was in the back of a lifeguard truck on the way to the ambulance, a first responder noticed that a cut on the top of his head had started to bleed. His heart started beating again. He was rushed to a local hospital and then later airlifted to Chicago, where it was determined that he had suffered no brain damage.
What?
And in fact, his only injuries appeared to be that cut on his head where someone nicked it with a shovel while they were digging.
I knew it.
And a scratch on his cheek. He has no memory of the incident, so he's not even traumatized.
What the?
Just the parents. No one knows how he was able to survive that long buried in the sand. Mount Baldy was closed for a few years afterwards. Good.
No shit.
But they reopened it last summer with a big fence and warning signs around it saying that if you went inside the fence, you'd be fined. Pretty sure the threat of getting buried alive inside a sand dune is more of a deterrent than a fine. But okay, stay sexy and away from sand dunes, Kim.
That scares me so much.
That's nuts.
But the sand dune God angels saved him.
Yes, they did. Also, can you imagine being this parent of like, the longer they search, you're just like,
we're looking for my kid's body now.
Oh,
that is bananas.
That, I have to admit, I read the first page of that. I did not read the second
page. You didn't know.
And I was like, Stephen, you've got the whole world in your hands
now. I'm like, what is,
because you know better than to lead us down the stony path of then the child just died in the sand.
Right,
Stephen.
Well, sometimes we like that. He knows it.
Well, true. Okay. Sometimes it's just like,
it printed out that way too, so that made it probably worse.
More dramatic.
Because it was like you had to turn the page.
Yep.
I was not expecting that kid for Nathan to live.
I really wanted him to be in a hidden cave with Egyptian treasure.
It's crazy that he doesn't remember it, because like, I wonder if he was just like off on another, in another plane of existence.
His whole interior was like, we're shutting all of us down. We're going to hold for 6 hours and we're going to be right back online.
Do you need us? Give us a knock on the head with a shovel.
Just go ahead and dig into my head with a shovel.
We'll be fine.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye.
Instead of reading the last one, I have a recorded one for my friend. So today's Monday. So tomorrow is the 6th of March, Tuesday. And so the episode of Drunk History in this new season that I'm on is going to play. And it's
tomorrow night?
Yeah.
At what time?
I don't know.
9 p.m.?
Sure.
On Comedy Central?
Comedy Central, yeah. Okay. And so it's a special episode called Drunk Mysteries. And I got to do a murder.
Nice.
So I'm doing that. Check it out. And it just so happens that a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, is the editor of my episode, which is really cool. And, he has a hometown he's been always wanted to tell me. So so his name's John Kaysen. He has a podcast called Ghosting Around, and it's ghost story, like true ghost stories. It's really cute. And, so this is his hometown murder. So thanks for not making me look like a fucking idiot on Drunk History, John, I hope.
Well, we'll see.
I hope. We'll see. Okay, here it is.
Hey, everybody. This is my hometown murder / I was a preteen person of interest story.
Oh.
So it's Orlando around 1990. I was 12 and a half or so, and I used to babysit for the two kids across the street. So one day I'm riding my bike home from school, and I notice there's a big crowd of people and news vans and police cars outside of my friend's house, which is just outside the neighborhood from the end of my street. And so I find out that between my friend's bedroom window and the brick wall that surrounded the house, someone had parked a white truck in the grass and left it there. And it turns out that the truck belonged to the mom of the kids across the street that I babysat for. And then in the back of the truck, wrapped in a bed sheet, was her dead body. She had been killed by blunt force trauma in her bedroom while the kids were asleep upstairs, wrapped up in her bed sheet, put in the back of her truck, and then driven out of the neighborhood and parked in front of my friend's house. So everyone suspected her estranged husband, obviously, who lived on a houseboat 3 hours away, and because they were going through a big, messy divorce, and she was asking for the house, the kids, and the business that they owned together. So after all this happens, no arrests were made. Still no arrests were made, still unsolved. But the dad moved back into the house to the chagrin of everyone. And then to make it worse, he asked my parents one day if I am available to babysit again. And without asking me, they say yes, because they don't want him to suspect that they suspect him of killing his wife. So anyway, I'm over there babysitting at night, and there are still blood splatters on the floor circled by Sharpie, and I didn't even look in the bedroom because I did not even want to even mess with that. But as I'm putting the kids to bed that night, one of the kids stops me and says, hey, John. And I say, yes. And he says, I miss my mom. And so my 12-year-old unequipped self, I think, just said, I know, like I'm Han Solo, and then went and sat downstairs for a couple hours waiting for a murderer to come home. So anyway, long story short, I turned out, or at least I got out of there okay. However, years later, this is a little denouement, when I was 30 about, my mom tells me that when the murder first happened, the detectives came over to our house and asked for a pair of my shoes to compare to the bloody footprints at the crime scene, which, of course, she let them have my shoes. I never found out which pair of shoes they were that exonerated me, but that is the story of how I became a preteen person of interest. Anyway, hope you dug the story, and I guess stay sexy and don't babysit for a murderer.
Another thing, John is one of the sweetest people you've ever met in your life. So, like, add that, like, him as a 12-year-old must have been like an angel baby.
Also, I love the answer. I know. Just like, I bet that helped that little kid instead of like, go to bed or whatever weird adults would say.
Right.
That's just kind of like a kid going, yeah, you're right.
It's an acknowledgement of your pain instead of being like, don't be sad, which is like,
it feels like we're going to have to change a very, very long ago, like, declaration that we made on this podcast, which is no male babysitters.
That's what I was thinking too, because that's what I wanted to say is like, John is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's okay. I promise everyone. He didn't do it at 12 years old. How can you imagine suspecting a 12-year-old? Like, he's one of your suspects?
They have to clear everybody. It's not like it hasn't happened.
Well, he said that. We texted about it, and he said the case has been opened a couple times, but they haven't found anything. But
the father, the kid stayed in the house where their mother was murdered.
Yeah.
With the blood.
With blood
on the wall, and the father moves. Like, that's so unhealthy for those children.
Totally.
Horrible.
I guess, yeah. I don't know how they turned out, but it's super sad.
I like it, though. I like a first person told. It's right. Always fun. I mean, just
especially
like,
when it's
exciting.
Someone you know, and you're like, he's been trying to tell me that story forever.
I mean, there's truly nothing better. Also, that's how it happens for so many people, where it's like, he's just an innocent 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he knows that people murder each other.
Totally.
Like, all these things become real. And he also gets shoved into a weird adult position.
And his parents send him back over to a murderer's house. Because they don't want to be rude.
Because they don't want to be rude to the murderer. Fucking nuts.
It's crazy.
I mean, they don't even have the like, oh, he's going to go to camp that week.
Right.
They nothing. Don't even lie.
Yes, sure. He's available.
Of course we're not suspicious of you.
And it's like, even if it wasn't the dad, you're sending him back to the murder house at night alone as a 12-year-old with kids.
Yes.
Like, the killer's still on the loose, even if it's the dad or not.
Can't those kids leave that house and come to a different house?
Yeah. Why don't they come to John's house to take care, to get babysat and stay there forever?
I'll call his mom when the show's over.
We're going to have some words with his mom.
We really have to get on the horn with her.
Mrs. Kaysen. Case in point.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's that exact thing that made him the great television editor that he is today.
That's true.
These are the things that build us.
That's true.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. Send us your shit. MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com, y'all.
Yeah, keep it up. We love all these stories.
We do. You guys are the best.
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, you want a cookie? Good boy.